Bring greetings this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's good to be here, and welcome, Ryan. It's kind of an exciting week, I think. So, yeah, bless you. And the church is way smaller. Wow. Might have to ask these ladies to move up sometime. It had been very good, but there was no room anymore, so everybody had to sit up. So maybe next time, just try to sit up. All right. Wednesday night at the men's meeting, I said I would. I was thinking of addressing a message or a request of life after death, and between Wednesday night and last night, my mind was kind of geared toward another direction. So maybe some other time we'll address that. Yesterday, we were cleaning out garages. We were cleaning out our garage. Wow. I knew we had a bunch of stuff, bunch of clutter, bunch of stuff in that garage that we had accumulated over the years. But I didn't, you know, if I didn't look too close, I was kind of okay with that mess. As long as we could park our vehicle inside and close the door, I was good. But finally, it was time to start cleaning up. Thanks to my wife, she encouraged all of us. So this morning, I'd like to look at life's clutter, life's things in our life that clutter us up. Coming back to this garage thing, maybe it'd be good if all of us would move every 3, 4, 5 years, and then we could get rid of some of that stuff that tends to accumulate materially. You know, we found things that we had bought for a purpose. And somehow we never used them. There was 2 gallon jugs of epoxy. One was a sealer, one was the top coat. And then another quart. And my wife asked me, "What is this?" And I said, "I have no idea." And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, whoa, you know, TJ said something about, didn't you buy that for something in our bathroom? Oh, yeah, I do. But it was worthless today. But we had bought it for a purpose. We found things that were just damaged, but it was just too good to throw away. So we chucked it back into the corner. And, you know, we thought possibly we could use parts of it later. Wrong thinking. We found stuff that we had bought, used some of it, and had leftover parts that we just set back on the shelf. 10 years later, it's still there, accumulating dust, but completely ruined. You know, I found just this past week, I was talking to Mike. He asked to borrow my truck and trailer, and he wondered if I have a lock to lock the trailer, the gooseneck trailer. And I said, "I know I have one, but I have no idea where it's at." Well, guess what? Yesterday I found it. I had no idea where that was. We also found things that were very useful. And I think we are able to hopefully find them next time we need them. Because it's, you know, the garage is, at least right now, it's straightened up. So we spent most of the day mucking out the garage, cleaning up, getting rid of stuff, getting rid of junk and clutter, little by little that we accumulated over time. I mean, it doesn't take much to accumulate just a little bit. We set it on the shelf, but the next time we come and we accumulate a little bit more, we set it up. Pretty soon you have a mountain of stuff over there that just in a short order, I mean, just in a very short time, it just took to put up there. We found used motor oil. I mean, why keep that? But we found it. We found old gas. Again, why? We found this epoxy in that gallon jug. We found two or three cans of that foam spray, you know, that great stuff? Completely ruined. We found caulk in a tube, hard as a rock. But there it was, cluttering up our garage. You know, it was very tiring and hard work to go through everything. We spent most of the day trying to get all this clutter out of our life. You know, we would have saved ourselves much work and frustration if we would have just taken care of it right away. But somehow that's not the way we operate, is it? I don't know how y'all operate, but that's not the way I operate. We think we might have use for it 10, 15 years down the road, there it is, if I can find it, if it ain't ruined. But we forget that we very likely will misplace it, we will lose it, and when we really need the thing, we'll just have to go out and buy another one because we can't find what we have. And the discouraging part is that our garage very likely is going to get cluttered again. That's the discouraging part. And we need to do it all over again. Now, so far, I was only talking about the things of life, of the material things of life. Things that perish, things that get ruined, things that don't matter in light of eternity. It doesn't matter if we threw away some material that we found some fuel filters and oil filters for previous vehicles. Well, what are we going to do with that? I mean, brand spanking new. Well, guess where they ended up at? We chucked them. We also found some fuel filters that, I kept because it may fit my Dodge truck. That's why I got it, my prior truck. But it does not matter that we threw some stuff away that were good. There was some light bulbs that we threw. They were perfectly good, brand new, but they didn't fit anything that we had. We found nails, screws, that I knew we had, but I just didn't know where they were. Now, what about our spiritual life? What about spiritual life? Do we have clutter and junk stored in the back corner of our heart that we need to get rid of? Turn to Psalm 51. I'd like to read this chapter. This is the prayer of David as after Nathan the prophet came to him after his his illicit relationship with Bathsheba. For those that can, would you stand? Verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of the tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight. that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Verse 7 through 12 is really the core of the chapter. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open up thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praises. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart, spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and the whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. You may be seated. Purge me with hyssop. Make me to hear the joy and gladness. Clean my heart, Lord. Create in me a clean heart, a heart that is not covered with dirt and grime and slime and, you know, whatever it is in life that we have sometimes. Renew the right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know, after the work of God in our hearts, after God has done his work in our hearts, then and only then are we able to teach others also. You know, it's extremely hard to teach people when there's sin and impurities in my heart. You know, are there some things that are detrimental, possibly dangerous, cluttering my heart, our lives? You know, we hardly think about them because we're so used to them. You know, I knew that that used motor oil was there. I knew that that old gas was there. Well, I didn't know about the gas, but I definitely knew about the oil. And, you know, that's kind of a toxic thing to keep around. I mean, it was in a jug, it was contained, it wasn't leaking, but it was still there. Just to tell you how toxic and dangerous it was, when I took it down to the trash pile, and I wanted to start a fire down there, so I dumped that old gas into that oil and mixed it up with a stick, and then pitched it on the pile, and I honestly didn't expect it to poof much, but when I struck a light on that thing, it was like it burned just about that far on this piece of wood, and then all of a sudden it went woof, and I started running. But it would have been way too late to run if that would have actually come out and got me. It was loud enough that they heard it up at the house, and this was down by down by our trash pile. But the thing of it is, this stuff was in our garage. It was in our life, as it were. I knew it was there, but I was kind of comfortable with it being there because it was out of sight, out of mind. In our spiritual life, is that the way we do sometimes? We know that there's some dangerous thought patterns. There's some dangerous things. There's some dangerous actions, whatever. It's in our life, and yet we're kind of comfortable with it because it's kind of just, you know, it's out there. It's out of sight. Remember, Brian read this morning in Psalm 139 that the Lord sees that. The Lord sees that. We can't hide from God. You know, sometimes when we are living life, we also throw out the good with the bad. Sometimes we have that tendency. Because we can hardly appreciate the good that we have, so we just throw it out with the, like they say, with the bathwater, the baby with the bathwater. So in your life, what is cluttering, what could be cluttering your life? I would like to have some feedback. What is, when you think of spiritual clutter or things in your life that could clutter your life, not necessarily sin, but just something that is a distraction, I guess is the word I heard this morning. What would be some of those? Anyone? I'm going to write them up here, if I can spell.
My phone.
I'm sorry?
My phone.
Okay. Is it spelled right? Anything else? Past hurts?
Trading in good for the best.
Huh?
Trading in good for the best.
Trading in the good for the best? Better, not? That would be good. I was thinking of distractions, but I'll write it down. I'm not exactly sure what you had in mind, but that's okay. Anything else?
Procrastination.
Somebody's clapping their hands.
An overly busy schedule.
Oh, busyness.
Our own abilities or lack of
them. So trusting in them? Anything else?
Money or theory?
I'm just going to put down material. Condense that.
Self-righteousness movement.
There you go. Anything else? Secured. Y'all need to pick words that are easier to spell. Anything else? All right, well, we thank you for those. Those are very good. Distractions, things that are not necessarily wrong in themselves, but they take away or they clutter up our life. Now, how many of us could live life, do what we're doing as efficiently if we wouldn't have phones? If you would have to do the Pony Express for your messaging, how efficient would you be? Probably most of us wouldn't be efficient at all. Some of us possibly couldn't even do the work that we really need to do. But it can be a distraction that clutters our life, that takes away our mind from God. Sometimes we just have to go on a phone fast. Again, that's kind of hard to do sometimes. But Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 22, that the care of this world is a distraction. It's a thing that comes into our lives at times that chokes out the word. He also said the deceitfulness of riches chokes out the word, makes us unfruitful. Now again, I would like to ask us, how many of us could operate without money in this life, today, in the 21st century? How many of us could operate and get by without money? You know, legitimate things that we have can be overdone, can be a distraction, and can be a detriment. Busyness was mentioned. Busyness of life. You know, I hear people say, how is life? Oh, it's so busy. And I can identify with that. It's so busy. Why? What are we doing? You know, are we so busy making a living that we create busy? Or there's times, and this is one of those legitimate things that can be overdone, is helping others to the point that our children hardly see or know us. And that's a danger that we all face. We have time for others, but we don't have time for family. busyness can be a detriment, can be a hindrance to our spiritual life. You know, our call of life as a father, as a mother, is to, if we have children, it is to teach them the ways of God. It is to teach them about God. It is to show them how a Christian lives. If we're gone, if we're so busy that we cannot do this, then we have failed our calling. You know, I've heard of preachers being gone from home, preaching here, preaching there, being gone so much that their boys, his boys, grow up hardly knowing Dad. They know him, of course, but they resent the calling of being preacher. They resent the fact that he has time for everybody else but themselves. He never has time to just take an afternoon off and go fishing. He doesn't have time. Because when he's at home, he has to make a living. You know, they resent the fact that everybody else gets more of Dad than they do. And eventually, they become bitter and turn away from God because of busyness of life. Do we have time for others but not have time for our children? It's a very legitimate thing to have time for others, but overdone, it becomes a distraction to ourselves and a detriment, a clutter. You know, our speech is another one, an unnecessary speech. We heard again, I thought, Brian, you should have just went on and I wouldn't have had to preach this morning. Thank you for that devotional. You know, talking again isn't wrong. I mean, it's a God-given ability that we have. We have the ability to speak and to talk and to convey what we're thinking. At least most of us can convey what we're thinking. But overdone and used in a wrong way, it becomes a detriment. It becomes not only clutter, but it becomes detriment. It will, you know, it can cause us to sin. We can gossip. We can criticize. We can flatter. We can, I mean, these are all things that we can do with our talk, with our mouth, with our words. You know, there's people that we sometimes call motor mouths. You ever meet them? They're just constantly talking. And you wonder, when do they breathe? You know, I was actually with my wife and I were down, I don't know, remember where it was. There was a tour guide, and he was giving us, we were on this tour bus or whatever it was, and this guy was just talking about this, talking, and as we were going into our tour, and he asked, well, does anybody have any questions? And the guy popped up and said, yes, when do you breathe? And that's sometimes the way we are. We find people that they just talk, and they never slow down. You know, the Bible says, listen to what Ecclesiastes 5:2 says. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou art on earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 17:27-28, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You know, some of us like to open our lips to show our wisdom, to share our wisdom. The Bible says, keep them shut and you'll share your wisdom. Matthew 5:37, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You know, we could read James chapter 1, 19 through 27. The very last word, let me turn to that. James 1. Verse 26, if a man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, doesn't put a bridle on his mouth, doesn't put a stopper on his lips, but and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. I mean, that's some pretty strong language there. If we don't bridle our tongue, if we don't shut down this motor mouth, you know, the Bible says our religion is vain. You know, some other things that sometimes can clutter our thoughts and our mind is critical thinking. Critical spirit, that was mentioned as well. Judgmental thoughts. We think that it's just when we start thinking about people, we just think of critical thoughts. We can't see a good in anybody. Now, the Bible is also clear that in the spiritual life, when we put off something, we need to put on something else. Now, at home in our garage, we were just glad to get rid of junk. We were glad to get rid of stuff. We hauled stuff down to the trash pile. We have a big pile that needs to be hauled off to the other trash pile. It's a lot of steel junk, and it's just, it's not something that burns. So we have to take that to a different one. But that's still there. But we don't want to replace it with other junk. We don't want to do that. We want it to be cleaned up. But the Bible says in the spiritual life, when we put off something, when we get rid of something, if we don't replace it with something good, then it will be worse for us. Matthew 12, remember the verses where it says the spirit went out of a man? Let's just read it. Matthew 12, these is Jesus' words. 43. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh about, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Now, if we stop there, we could think that when the unclean man is gone out of a man, we should rejoice. That is a good thing. And it is. It is a very good thing. But see, look what's going to happen here. Verse 44. Then he saith, he couldn't find any place to rest, it says. He couldn't find any place to stay, this unclean spirit. So verse 44, he says, he saith to himself, I will return into my house from whence I came out. So he's going to go back to this heart that he was, or this life that he was chased out, he was pushed out, he was told to leave, and this man didn't do anything with his life. He just sat there. When he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. And that is exactly what we tried to do with our garage. We tried to sweep it up. We tried to empty it. And we tried, I don't know exactly sure, garnished, maybe decorated. We didn't decorate the garage by a long shot. But this is what the unclean spirit found. He went back to this life, and he found it empty, swept, and garnished. It was beautiful to come home to a clean house. You know, I last Sunday, this is another little story. Down at Searcy, we stopped in at Mike's house. And if you want to see a dirty house, please go and look at that house. If you want to experience a dirty house, there it is. It stank to high heavens. It had trash all over the floor. It had trash in the yard. It had trash holes in the floor. It had cats in there. It had bugs in there. It had anything but the desirables. And we went, you know, we walked through it. I didn't even go through the whole house. It stank so bad. But, you know, as we came home, the first thing we did is we went into the shower. We felt dirty, so we showered. And the message that Carla put on our family chat was, what was it? Something about a clean house, the blessing of a clean house. You remember? Anyhow, she said, oh, the blessing of a clean, non-stinky house or something like that. And I think that's literally what this spirit found. He found a house that was cleaned up, and it smelled good. It was swept. It was clean. But the man had not put anything in it. The Bible says when we put off, we need to put on. That's not what that man did. And it says here in verse 45, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. The last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Friends, when we get tired of life, when we get tired of our sinful life, and we want to clean our lives up, by all means, let's do it. But let's fill it with something better. If we don't, it's going to be worse for us at the last than it is now. We have to fill it with the presence of God if we want to keep the devil out of our life. Romans 13:12-14 says, Romans 13:12-14, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, let us therefore cast off, now remember those words, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Just to drive this point home. Colossians chapter 3. We'll read verse 8 through 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these. So here we're supposed to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouth, lying, don't lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, Vows of mercy. This is what we you know, remember, we put off the anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, lying, the old man. Now we're supposed to put on these. As the elect of God, we're supposed to put on bowels of mercy. Now, a heart of mercy, a heart of kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, above all this other things that was mentioned, put on charity, which is the bond of peace. Lost my place here. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, for that which also you are called into one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Remember what Psalm 51 said. After the Lord has cleaned our heart, after he has forgiven us, made our hearts new, then are we able to teach others also. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, and then you can teach and admonish others also. So again, experience it first in our hearts, then are we able to tell others about it. I'd like to read a song, kind of a halfway familiar song, but it's the secret place of my heart. My heart is like a house, one day I let the Savior in. There are many rooms where we would visit now and then. Now, you know, again, I was good with the garage the way it was, as long as I could get my vehicle in and close the door. I didn't want to really face the mess and the clutter and the, you know, sometimes that's the way we are in our spiritual life. We're good to meet God on these conditions, in this room, but we don't really, we close the door on some of these other rooms. But that's what this author is saying here. There were many rooms where we would visit now and then, but then one day, he saw that door. And I knew the day had come too soon. And I said, Jesus, I'm not ready. For us to visit in that room, because that was a place I wouldn't even go by myself. I wouldn't even go myself. There's a place in my heart where even I wouldn't go. I have some things hidden there. I didn't want no one to know. But he handed me the key with tears of love on his face. And he said, I want to make you free. Let me go in that secret place. So I opened up the door. The two of us walked in. I was so ashamed. I'd revealed my hidden sin. But when I think about that room now, I'm not ashamed anymore. For I know my hidden sin no longer hides behind that door. There was a place in my heart where even I wouldn't go. I had some things hidden there I didn't want no one to know, but he handed me the key with tears of love on his face. He made me free. I let him in my secret place. Is there a place in your heart where even you don't go? You have some things hidden there you don't want anyone to know. Well, he's handing you the key with tears of love on his face. He wants to make you free. Let him go in your secret place. So this morning, as we clean house, as we examine our life, maybe we be willing and have the wisdom, the grace, to let Jesus do his work. I would like, I don't know how many of you know this song, but is this a song that y'all know? Oh, there's a lot of them. I think I'm going to ask, I'd ask Titus to lead this song after prayer. So let's kneel for prayer.